Good morning. Good crowd here. Good day. Beautiful day outside. Spring has sprung, yes?
Yes.
Yes, thank goodness. So thank you for being here this morning. We are continuing a lesson series on blessings. I call it a Count Your Blessings, and we're going to do two things each week. We start by talking about our individual blessings. And then as we discussed the very first week, one of the reasons we have been given these blessings is to bless others. So we will talk both about what these blessings are and how we will and are accountable to bless others with those blessings. What, no question yet? Come on, Joe. You let me down, man. Okay. Well, you know what, Denise? In that context, you're a blessing to Joe, right? And that's what we're talking about this morning is relationship blessings. How about that for a transition? That's pretty good, right? So we have talked a little bit about our physical blessings. We've talked about our financial blessings. This week, we're going to talk about our relationship blessings. And next week, I don't know what we're going to do, what you're going to do, because I'm going to be in India. So we will work out an interim teacher for a week for you, and then we'll continue with this series once I get back. Actually, as a little bit of a preview, if things go well, next Sunday we hope to, as part of the service, Skype in the kids from India with you on Sunday morning Sunday morning worship. That's assuming everything goes right, because there's a lot of things that can go wrong between now and then. But that's what we're going to try to do, so pray about that. I'd like to be able to do that. We don't have the connection for the kids. It'd be about 9:30 p.m. their time, and they will assemble. And what we're going to do is have kind of go back and forth. We'll have them sing a song to you, and then we're going to have Doug, I think, is going to lead singing. We're going to put all of you in the middle, because it's easier to see you that way. And then you'll sing a song back to them. And then Mike will give a 5-minute little talk. And then Sangha from India will give a 5-minute little talk. Maybe we'll sing another song or two, have a prayer, and then let you guys go ahead and finish the rest of your service with the Lord's Supper and all the things there. How's that sound?
Awesome.
Yeah, it'd be great. I think you'll enjoy it. I'm going to tell you, though, these kids will sing you under the table. You're going to have to really, really give them some volume. The only thing I've noticed, I will tell you though, it's a little bit like growing up in West Virginia singing with them. They sing really loud, but really slow. It's, you know, they know all of the old hymns, and they sing them like we used to in West Virginia. About one half of the speed it's supposed to be sung at. I think you'll enjoy that next week. So pray about that for me this week. I'd appreciate that. So, relationship blessings. Let's start with our key scripture, as we have each week, and then we'll have a quick word of prayer, and then we'll move from there. The key scripture I'm using is from James 1:17, and it says, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, not that we... that we might be the first fruits of all he created." So let's pray this morning. Father, thank you for allowing us to be first fruits, allowing us, Father, to feel the power of your blessings, allowing us, Father, to be accountable to share those blessings. We thank you for this time. We ask your blessings specifically on our study this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So, tell me about your relationship blessings. Do you have any? Okay, I shouldn't have worded it in a closed-ended question. Tell me about your relationship blessings. Who do you count as a blessing? Do you count? I'm sure you count Denise as a blessing. 40 years of marriage. There you go. That's a blessing.
Yes, it is.
It's a blessing you both survived that long. I know what you were thinking.
In a way,
yeah. Sure.
I had one child, and he moved away
2 weeks, right?
Yep.
Yeah?
Yep.
Right? So grandchildren, children are blessings.
Sharing your response as much of a blessing as mine has almost been given. So my only grandchild is a huge blessing.
There you go.
Yeah.
Other blessings, relationship blessings, did you have? Joe? You know?
I have two other children behind beside EK from a free from my first marriage.
Uh-huh.
And I have how many grandchildren do I have?
How many have he has a bunch?
8 or 9 and a couple more coming.
Oh my. There you go. So children and grandchildren. What else? So we talked about spouses, we talked about children, grandchildren. What other relationship blessings do you have?
Friends.
What? Friends? Sure, absolutely, right? Friends. Actually, let me share with you a quick scripture there. This is from Proverbs 17:17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. A friend loves at all times. The Bible also says in Proverbs that a friend can be closer than a brother. You agree? Yeah, I have friends like that. Ironically, in my case, two of my closest friends are my two brothers. But that's, okay, so we have friends, we have brothers, sisters. What other relationship blessings do we have?
Relationship with God. I feel he's blessing me, so I feel that's a blessing for him to accept me.
Absolutely, all right, that's a good one, right? I mean, our relationship with God is one that boy, that kind of transcends all the other relationships.
Yeah.
Any others? Yeah?
Church relationships.
Uh-huh. Okay, so we've got brothers and sister relationships here, yes?
My coworkers.
Coworkers.
Yes.
Great. You know, marvelous relationships with that. The other that I think of a lot, I have a 93-year-old next month be a 94-year-old father, right? And a mother that, if there is anyone, I am 100% convinced that was in heaven, it's her. You have mothers and fathers that have been blessings? Mike, you don't have He walked in, so he'll be just
I said, they hear you.
I mean, we have lots of those kinds of blessings, right? We have friends. Do you have friends that you have spent time with maybe a long time ago, but when you get back together, it's that kind of relationship? Or friends that you know, brothers maybe, sisters in the church, you know that you could ask them for anything and you would get it? Do you have that relationship? I see Carol Schultz walk in. I could ask Doug for anything. He might look at me a little funny, but I'm confident he would give me whatever I needed. We have that kind of relationship. I mean, this is a very unique and powerful blessing that God has given us. Could you imagine what would it have been like if God said, live alone and serve me? And there are people who choose to do that. But God gave us relationships, right? Let me read you just a few things about the kinds of relationships. Honor your father and mother for us. That your days may be long in the land that your Lord has given you. That's from Exodus 20, father and mother. Here's one. It's long, but it's definitely worth reading. This is from Proverbs 31. So what's that about? Wife, yeah. A wife of noble character, who can find? She's worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her. She lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still night and provides food for her family and portions for her female servants. She considers a field and buys it out of the earnings. She plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her task. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hand to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household. She does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. You think this writer thinks of his wife in this case as a blessing? Oh my, absolutely. Husbands, love your wife just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. There's a challenge. Right? How about brothers? I always thank my God as I remember you. This is from Philemon 1:4. Because I hear of all your love for all his holy people and your faith in the Lord Jesus. I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening our understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. I mean, there are some amazing people in our lives that have given us remarkable blessings. And before I forget, let me just remind you this week to thank those people. Okay? Because we have been blessed. We have been blessed with relationships. How long have I known you, Earl?
Oh, let's see. I do some roots.
I don't want to tax your mind this morning. Christine and I have been married for almost 31 years, and at least 3 or 4 years before that, right? He's been someone in my life that's been an encouragement and a pseudo father figure. I don't want to make him think he's old. You know what? And these are the kinds of relationships that bless our lives. Do you know there are 57 scriptures in the New Testament? 59 scriptures in the New Testament. Called the One Another Scriptures. You ever heard these? We should do a class on this sometime. It'd be a great class. The One Another Scriptures. There's 59 scriptures that tell us how we should be treating and working with one another. Probably a third of them are love one another, because it's over and over and over and over and over again. But let me read you a couple others. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Live in harmony with one another. Stop passing judgment on one another. Accept one another then as Christ accepted you. Instruct one another. Greet one another with a holy kiss. When you come together to eat, wait for each other. Have equal concern for each other. Oh, here's two more holy kisses. Serve one another in love. If you keep biting and devouring each other, you will be destroyed by each other. Carry each other's burdens. Be patient with one another. Forgive one another. Submit to one another. Consider one another better than yourself. You see the list that goes on and on and on about things that we can do with this specific blessing. Thoughts, concerns, emotional outbursts yet? Yes, Mike?
This is the first time, and this class has been on blessings. This is the first time when I think about relationship blessings that this is where I've definitely not been appreciating my blessings enough. You can easily point to material blessings and point to other things, but I had this moment, I think I've talked about it in sermons, where I found an old box from my parents' house. And inside the box was a collection of cards and letters that I received when I was in college from a lot of people here. People who are here in this room, people who are no longer here with us. And I got those, and it was like, oh yeah, that's nice. Of course, that's what they should do. They should send me cards, because I am the center of the universe. And now looking back, I am not as good a blessing to others as I have been blessed by others at all times. You know what I mean? I mean, that's not true 100% of the time, but for the most part, when I look at it, others have blessed me, and I didn't appreciate it then, and have I done the same, in kind, and I fall short.
It's called maturity.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Actually, That's a great point. Thank you, Mike. Thank you for that. Yeah.
I just want to say, I was thinking of it earlier, was bosses and neighbors. And I think what we should do is think of the opposite. If your neighbor isn't good, we've all heard of bad neighbors and bad bosses, and sometimes maybe consider what it could be. That's why we shouldn't take them for granted.
Good point. So if you're blessed with those things, that's an amazing blessing. Huh. Others? Other thoughts? Let me read you another passage here. This is taken from Romans 12. For by grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We read that scripture last week, or perhaps even the week before, and we were talking about different gifts that we have, and some were about prophecy and serving and giving and encouraging and giving generously, and that's where this scripture continues. But I wanted to stop there for just a second and say, though we are many, we form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Does that sound familiar in any way? That you belong to someone else? What?
The marriage.
The marriage, right? Yeah. I mean, we are taught that, you know, you become one flesh, your body belongs actually to the other person. Here he's using it to talk about the body of Christ. That your body, I mean, you belong to everyone else. What do you think that means? This is the audience participation part. Yes. What do you think that means? John, going to take a stab?
We're all related. We're all part of the human race.
Okay. One way to look at it, kind of the macro way, you know, right? The biggest way that we're all one. Here he's talking specifically. We are.
No matter how fresh you get.
We are. And in this context, he also suggests that in the church, right, we are one body and belong to each other.
It goes along with the second greatest commandment, as they say, to love your neighbor as yourself.
And who's your neighbor? We know the story, right? We've heard the story of where Jesus teaches us about that, but thank you, yes. Exactly. I'm struck by something today in our society. We have a tendency to talk more about who's not our neighbor. Because that person looks different, that person acts different, that person may be part of a different political party, that person might have a different view on something. We look at the things that are different today. And he's encouraging us to look a different way. Yeah?
Sure. I was going to say, I have friends who are Jewish. And, of course, we all know about the synagogue shooting, and we know about New Zealand. On Friday, I went with them to stand in support to the Muslim community. And it was really a very touching and emotional time for a lot of us, and the thank yous from the people going into their service were constant. And, you know, you look at it, and I was looking at people as they came down the street, and I could not tell which one coming down the street was a Muslim until they went into the building. I mean, you cannot tell by looking at people who they are. You have to know them.
Let me ask you an awkward question, but I was thinking about this morning. Does God love Christians more than he loves other people? Told you it was an awkward question. Sometimes we act as if he does. What are you thinking, Jim?
Well, maybe the question to ask is, if a parent has two children, and one of them
my family, the Reed Esters and the Caseys, we were at this banquet for the sports team. Gloria and Chase and Addie and Caitlin were all involved. And each coach would talk about their players, and they would, typical stuff. This one coach of, I don't know what age group that was, they were under five, I think.
Yeah, that's insist.
Yeah, and this coach, and it was Addie, wasn't it? He said, Addie is, I have to say this, I shouldn't say this, but Addie's my favorite. Well, there was one more kid on that team. He was sort of running away crying. He ran over to him, and it was like, we didn't mean it quite like that. But, does God play favorites, you know? Or, and that's what Jim's setting up, you know, here. Oh, of course, there's a unique relationship. You know, we have a sonship, and we've been given that opportunity to be sons and daughters of the King. But, God loves the world. He loves every person in the world, wants every single one of them to become his son.
Absolutely. And think about for just a second the parable of the son who ran away, right? And the son who was obedient and stayed. And which one did that father love more? I don't think you could say he loved one more than the other. But boy, he sure wanted that one sheep that had gone away to return, didn't he? I wonder, though, if we think that way, or when we're talking in our relationships, do we have the tendency to think, because I've got this relationship with God and been blessed that way, that he loves me just a little bit more than other people? I almost ask you, do you think God loved the Pharisees? Do you think Jesus loved the Pharisees?
Whoever's lost, he loves more than not, because it helps me, it hurts me. Like Christians that are following him, he loves us, but he doesn't have to worry as much. And he loves, there are different degrees of it. He loves the ones that are lost because he feels more bad for them and wishes that they probably would. Yeah.
Can you imagine having somebody nail you to a cross and to turn around and say, and you know what, just forgive those people? You know, I mean, this thing of our relationship blessings and then moving quickly to how do we use it is, I think we need to recognize who we are, what we have been given, and that should drive a different kind of behavior from us than the rest of the world. I'll go to John, then Jim, okay?
All those things are true. I think it's been said 3 or 4 times here. Yes, God loves everybody, but I think he loves the actions, okay, of people when they obey him, okay, and do his will. He loves that more. And even his own son, when he was being baptized by John the Baptist, said, this is my son who I'm well pleased, you know. And so he loves the actions when people say, yes, you're my God, you're my Savior. He loves that, but he does love the whole world.
And it's similar, thank you, John, and it's similar to what we talked about last week, where we sometimes get into this picture that there is a pie of finances, and, you know, everybody gets their slice, and they're worried about, is my slice bigger than your slice? Does God love me more than he loves you? And his pie is infinitely large financially, as we talked about last week. And it's the same here as well. I mean, it's like a jealous child. You know, do you love me more? Do you love me? It's an interesting and challenging thing. I said, Jim.
Yeah. And the other, I think the other problem is we confuse, kind of like what John's saying, we confuse somebody being pleased with actions with love and anger. We say, well, if they're angry, if God's angry with somebody, he doesn't love them. And that's not the case. You know, I'm upset with you because you're not following my will. But that doesn't mean I don't. And we confuse that. It's we're projecting the way we respond to people.
Yeah, it's a great point. And when we say something like, you know, I'm frustrated or I'm upset with you because you're not following my will, if we say that, that's a focus on us. When God says that, he's saying, I'm upset, you're not following my will because it's better for you. That's the thing that's still a little different in this relationship, right? Let me read you another, actually, Sharon did read the next verse, which was, love your neighbor as yourself, so thank you for that.
But let's talk about, what are we supposed to do? We have been blessed with relationships, so what are we supposed to do with them, with those blessings? Let me give you a couple ideas. This is from Hebrews 10.
It says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching. So in that scripture, based on our blessings and relationships that we have, what does he call us to do?
Encourage one another.
What do you think that means? Specifically when he says, encourage one another so you can spur one another on to love and good deeds. What do you think that means? You could argue, frankly, the way that's worded. That's a command. What do we do, Mark? Constructive, something, you know, positive, something, you know, to lift you up. I'm not going to put Mark specifically on the spot, but I can say I don't think I've ever shaken that hand of his, which is about twice the size of mine, without an encouraging word coming from him. That's what one of Mark's gifts is. He encourages. Love and good works. Encouraging to love and good works. What do you think?
Even Jesus. Encouragement. He's always my example. And God must love everybody because he sent his son.
Good point. God sent his son. Even Jesus needed encouragement. Who did he call on for his encouragement?
His disciples.
John? Oh, John? Yeah, he called on John and some of the other apostles for that. Right? Sometimes they laid down, they fell asleep, they did other things, but interesting. Jim?
We don't often read it, but when he was in the garden, angels came and ministered and soothed him and helped him through that period.
You ever met an angel?
Many have unawares.
Many have unawares. Someday they ask me, I'll tell you about my two stories. I'm 100% positive that I've met an angel.
I think that, you know, part of that spurring on and even the meeting together is kind of the idea that if you do recognize somebody as a blessing or you feel you do have a blessing, you should just take time and let them know that they are that in your life and that you want to, you know, it'll reciprocate when you let them know. That's going to be an encouragement. That is going to spur them on. But we just take it for granted that they know. We just figure, yeah, they know. They know how I feel about them. But I think the Bible is pretty specific. Let them know. Be clear about it. Take time to use words that actually build them up in that way.
Yeah. You know, I haven't been around as many folks as I'm sure Earl and Mike have at difficult times, deaths of others. But I know there have been dozens of times people have said, I wish I would have said something. You know, I wish I would have done something. I wish I would have, you know, taken another step. I didn't. I should have. I didn't take advantage of that time together. John?
That scripture means we're supposed to come together as Christians, which is right now Christians, and encourage one another, as you just read, the good works and things like. And I think in that scripture it said, did it say something about the first day of the week?
No, it just says meeting together. Just
but when we come together as a body, whether it's on the first day of the week, and then on the Wednesdays, whenever we're together, we encourage each other as a Christian body, you know, and we help each other through the hard times that come along in life. And
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the thing that I wanted to point out of this scripture in particular, he doesn't say, just encourage each other. Be specific to love and good deeds. So if you're wondering, gosh, you know, I know Earl's done a lot for me. It's one thing to go up and say, Earl, you've really inspired me. It's something else to go up to Earl and say, on Thursday, when you said this to me, or I'll give you a specific example. We were praying for Jean it's probably been 15 years ago. We were praying for Jean. And one of the things Earl did that day as he was leading prayers was he didn't say, if it's your will. He said, God, heal her. He was very confident and very focused. Changed the way I thought about prayer. I appreciate that. That's something I need to tell him specifically. So I encourage you, as you think about one of the things you do with the blessings, spur one another toward love and good deeds, is being specific. Here's a couple other scriptures. Encourage one another to build each other up, just as you're already doing. How about this one? So we who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not just please ourselves. Now, there's an interesting thing. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not just please ourselves. Again, I hope you don't mind, but if you look at what we do in the world today, it's about highlighting other people's failures. It's about highlighting other people's weaknesses. It's not about encouraging them. And frankly, for those that are strong, we all think we're strong, we think we now have the right to point out other people's failures. Not what God said. Here's a couple other things we are called to do. You've got to remember that when I cut and paste the scriptures in here, sometimes it uses different colors, and some of my color ink is gone. So I just have half of scriptures here, which makes it a little harder. Here's one, though, from 1 Timothy. I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them. Intercede on their behalf and give thanks for them. That's from 1 Timothy 2:1. All people. All people. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace and be thankful. Is it a peaceful world? I don't care how you feel about it, but today there's going to be so much news, and tomorrow there's going to be so much news, and the next day there's going to be so much news, because of the report that came out and all these things that are going to be going on. And I wish we were a people seeking to live in peace. We can be. I'm not sure the world can. How about this one? Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and one Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. And then there's always this one that my mother taught me very young. As you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. I mean, that's a simple one that could be a direct result of our recognizing our relationship blessings. How I want to treat Joe, how I want to be treated by Joe is how I should treat Joe. Yes? Just think about that scripture this week. It's a challenge. I don't have to be tolerant because you're not being tolerant of me.
Exactly.
It's an interesting arm wrestle. with the devil around this issue.
And he knows all your strengths and weaknesses, so he plays that game with you constantly.
Absolutely, absolutely. And if you take a step back, you can just see, and if you literally use the Spirit's eyes, you can see this battle going on everywhere. Jim?
And he addressed that. He said, you've heard it in old times, an eye for an eye. But I tell you, bless those that curse you.
About that. Bless those who curse you. Ooh. Father, forgive them, for they know not what you do. How about this one? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. What did Jesus do so artistically here? He kind of said, give me the amount of grace that I give other people. And that, I mean, we could get into the theological arguments of saying, gee, does that mean he hasn't forgiven me unless I forgave Denise? But what he's saying is recognize the grace. How about this one? Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man has great effectiveness. What? He doesn't say here, listen to the confessions of other people's sins.
And pass judgment accordingly.
No, he doesn't say that. He says, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you can be healed. I've been in a lot of situations around the church, and one moment is very, very clear to me, where someone came to the elders of this congregation and the deacons and asked to meet with us for a very specific purpose, to confess sin. Strike. Unbelievable. Because his sin wasn't a whole lot different than mine. In a lot of ways. Humbling. Fascinating how God puts these things together. Bear with one another, and if one has a complaint against each other, forgive each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so that you must forgive. In fact, he even goes as far as to say, if you think somebody else has something against you, what do? You go fix it before you take the Lord's Supper? Wow. Sorry, I'm rambling. Thoughts? Perspectives? Yeah.
If we followed all these rules, I think clearly it would disappear overnight. If we just dropped our grievances, there would be no tweeting. Except, hey, we have a new baby.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, it's become, particularly now that we have a way to make these comments and concerns without having to come out of our own mouth. Satan is taking advantage of that, there's no doubt. Earl?
Sometimes there's a message in Scripture that is not the forefront message, but it is plainly there. That scripture you read about, confess your sins one to another, says to Earl, be somebody people can confess their sins to, because they know you will treat it with love, not treat it like, well, did you hear what he did? He did it. That's the way it often gets treated. That's the opposite. We have to be a people whose sins be confessed without fear of being condemned, shame, or disgrace.
And how do you do that? Yeah, I mean, I think part of what we're talking about in this class is when you recognize the blessings that you have been given, and frankly, how many of them did you earn? It changes your world. It changes your perspective. Last couple minutes here in class, I want to go back to something I talked about in the first week, And I want to just remind you about something, and that is that how to pronounce a blessing. And I'm going to read from number 6. It says, "The Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, may Yahweh bless you and protect you. May Yahweh make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May Yahweh look with favor on you and give you peace. In this way, you will pronounce my name over the Israelites, and I will bless them." What a powerful thing. You know the word shalom? Right? What's it mean?
Peace.
Peace. And it's a greeting. Right? Have you noticed? I had the list of my other week of this time. I think there were 18, 20 different times where a book of the Bible, in the New Testament, starts with grace and peace to you, may God bless you, may God think about it. I'm encouraged by you because of, you know, the writers did this constantly to encourage and bless each other. Interesting. So, you know, it's interesting to think about who should you be pronouncing a blessing upon? Of course, those people we agree with. Because we don't want to give blessings to people that we don't agree with. Well, actually, if you read this, you know, let God bless you, keep you, may God's face shine on you, be gracious to you. May God look with favor on you and give you peace. That way you pronounce his name over there, not yours. I think that's fascinating. Now again, he was talking to priests, I get that. But he was basically saying, the best blessing you can give someone is not to say just thank you, but to say, God bless you. We say that when people sneeze.
Because their soul jumped out of their body.
It's because their soul jumped out of their body. I always wondered why. Thank you. Mickey is always right on there. Helps me understand. So here we're talking about figuring out a way. And I think that's what we're called to do, particularly with this blessing, is to help us bring God into any relationship so that his blessings are seen in that relationship. Make sense? Last comments, concerns, or emotional outbursts? Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the blessings you've put in our lives, of our families, our wives, our husbands, our children, our grandchildren, great-grandchildren, our parents, those in our families that have enriched us. Father, we're thankful for those in this family and in our church family that have enriched us here at this congregation, places we've been before, those that are already in heaven with you. Father, we thank you for the blessing they have been in our lives. Father, we thank you for the blessings of the people that we work with day to day, and the things that we see, the people we interact with. And Father, we ask that you make your face shine upon them. In Jesus' name, amen.